Amen. So we're in Acts chapter 21. And before I begin, I want to thank Pastor Jimenez, of course, for the opportunity and the honor it is to get to preach behind this pulpit. And it's a little nerve-wracking being in this building, but I hope to be a blessing to you tonight here in Acts 21. And so this is a sermon I preached at a different church, but I think it'd be good for us here as well. So I was hoping to preach it to you guys and have it be a blessing to you as well. So we're there in Acts 21. In Acts 21, look at verse number 1. Again, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them, and then at launch we came with a straight course unto Cus, and the day falling unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara." And in Acts 21, we come into the midst of the Apostle Paul's third and final missionary journey. And we see the man going from Cus, the day falling unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. Verse number 2, it says, "And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and sent forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre." So what we see is this man, Paul, who is on a mission, you know, going from city to city. And if you've traveled at all, look, you know that traveling can be extremely exhausting. You know, traveling is tired nowadays when we have vehicles, we have planes, we have air conditioning to keep us cool, calm, and comfortable. But during these times, we have a man who's walking on his feet, he's traveling by ship, who is bearing the elements out there, and it's very exhausting. So we see Paul, who is a man on a mission. And during this time, his destination, his goal is to go to Jerusalem. And notice verse number 4. Notice what the Bible says in verse 4. It says, "And finding disciples..." It says, "We tarried there 7 days," notice, "who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem." So here we have the Apostle Paul, a man on a mission, a man going to Jerusalem, but we see disciples here in Tyre, and they go to Paul, and they tell Paul through the Spirit, that notice, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And, you know, you and I, we would think, man, the Apostle Paul, you know, people are coming to him saying, "Paul, look, you should not go to Jerusalem." You know, we would think, like, you know what, maybe I shouldn't go. You know, maybe I'll just stay. But notice what Paul does in verse 5. It says, "And when we had accomplished those days, we departed," notice, "and went on our way." So Paul decides not to take the warning. He decides to go on still towards Jerusalem. Jump down to verse number 10. Verse number 10. In verse 10, we have Paul now in Caesarea, which is his last stop before getting to Jerusalem. Acts 21, verse 10, the Bible says, "And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea," notice, "a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." So we saw back in Tyre, the disciples said, look, don't go to Jerusalem. He gets to Caesarea, and here we have Agabus, a prophet, coming to Paul, and he takes Paul's girdle, and he binds his own hands and his own feet. And Agabus says this, he says, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." And so we see that the message for Paul is clear. The message is, do not go to Jerusalem. You shouldn't go there. If you go there, you're going to be bound hand and foot. You're going to be delivered into the hands of the Gentiles. Look, the message is clear from the disciples, or from the people. They're saying, look, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. And in verse number 12, notice it says, "And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place," notice, "besought him." They're begging Paul, besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. You know, at this time, you know, I can imagine the love that these people had for the Apostle Paul. Hearing that, you know, this, if he goes there, a man who's loved them, invested in them, helped them grow in the Lord, got them saved, if he goes to Jerusalem, he's going to be bound hand and foot. They're begging him not to go to Jerusalem. But notice the response from Paul in verse 13. Then Paul answered, notice, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." In verse 14, "And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done." So Paul was like saying, look, why are you weeping? Why are you trying to break my heart? And these people, they could not persuade Paul. I mean, if somebody told you, look, if you go to the city, you're going to go to jail, you're going to be bound hand and foot, they're going to try to kill you, you'd be like, man, I guess I shouldn't go there. But Paul is saying, like, why are you breaking my heart? Why are you trying to stop me from going for what I want to do? My goal is to be at Jerusalem. It says, "And when he would not be persuaded, we see saying, the will of the Lord be done." Notice verse 18, "And after those days, we took up carriages," notice, "and went up to Jerusalem." See, the Apostle Paul was a different type of breed of human being. He was a different guy. And we see the Apostle Paul who would not be persuaded. Once he had his mind, his goal of being at Jerusalem, once it was fixed, saying, you know, this is where I'm going to go, this is what I'm going to do, nothing could stop him. People were saying, like, you shouldn't go there. They're trying to plead with him. They begged him. They love him. But Paul was like, why are you trying to weep and break my heart? And Paul decides to go on. See, Paul was not your average Christian. And Paul had something that you and I need in life. And tonight I'm preaching on this word, and the word is determination. See, what we see in the Apostle Paul is that the Apostle Paul was a very determined man. And you know, what is determination? Determination is a firm sense of purpose and commitment to reaching goals. It's the act of pursuing a specific aim, motivating you to succeed at the goal. Determination promotes persevering towards a difficult goal in spite of obstacles. Determination occurs prior to goal attainment and serves to motivate behavior that will achieve one's goals. You know what's lacking in Christianity today? What's lacking is some determination as Christians. What's lacking in our own personal lives sometimes is determination. Because look, throughout this room, we have all sorts of people in this room. You know, we have moms and dads who their goal is to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Look, that is a great goal to have. But to succeed in that goal, what you need is determination. Determination, the purpose and commitment to what? To persevere towards a difficult goal aside from the obstacles in life. You know, in this room we have spouses who are trying to be the best spouse they can be for their spouse. To be a husband who leads their wife or a wife who helps their husband succeed in life. What you need is determination to fulfill what God has called you to do. What we see is business owners out here who have goals for their own business in life. And what they need is some determination to make those goals happen. You see why? Because like any goal that you have in life, whether it's your health, whatever personal goal you may have in your own personal life, what you need is determination to accomplish that goal. And determination is a firm sense of purpose and commitment to reaching goals. It's the act of pursuing a specific aim, motivating you to succeed at the goal. And determination promotes persevering towards a difficult goal in spite of obstacles, and it happens prior to goal attainment and serves to motivate behavior that will help achieve one's goal. But you know, in this room, what I see here is a room full of Christians. Obviously, if you're saved, you're a Christian. But, you know, as God's people, as Christians, you and I should have some things that we determine in life, some things that we just decide to do, and no matter what, we will not be persuaded. We're going to reach our goal no matter what. And I want to use the Apostle Paul, who was a very determined man, and talk about some determinations that you and I as Christians ought to make. Number one, you got to determine, Christian, to finish the Christian life. You got to determine to finish the Christian life. Go to Acts 21. You're in Acts 21. Look at verse number 3. Acts 21, verse number 3. The Bible says, "Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unlade her burden." Notice, "and finding disciples." I want you to notice, it doesn't say finding one guy, finding one disciple. No, it says finding disciples, finding a multitude of people. It says, "we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem." See, Paul goes to Tyre, and not just one person, no, a whole, the believers come to Paul, a whole group of people come to Paul. And they're saying, "Paul, you shouldn't go to Jerusalem." You see, Paul was not your average Christian. See, most people are not like the Apostle Paul, sadly. Most people are only willing to go so far in life. Look, whatever goal you have in life, if you have a goal that's worth achieving, worth accomplishing, have the determination to persevere through the obstacles and to go on. Because what you'll find in life is that most people just lack determination. Verse number 5, it says, "And when we accomplished those days, we departed and went on our way." Verse number 10, again, Paul in Caesarea. "And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was coming to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, 'Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him to the hands of the Gentiles.'" But notice what it says in verse 12 again. "And when," notice, "we heard these things," it says, "both we and they of that place," notice, "besought him not to go up to Jerusalem." Here we have another multitude of people. They're saying both we and they have that place. Here we have a group of people going to the Apostle Paul, showing him, look, if you go, they're going to be bound hand and foot. And the reality is that, look, there's all sorts of Christians out there. And look, something that our pastor said is that not all Christians are equal. Not all churches are equal. Some churches are better than other churches. Some Christians are better than other Christians. And some people just lack the determination they have to finish the Christian life. And what you find about most Christians is that most Christians don't finish the Christian life. And I'm not up here bragging like I'm just for sure going to finish. But you know what? It's a determination, a choice that we must all choose to make in life. You just decide, I'm going to finish this thing. Why? Because most people, guess what? They quit the Christian life. Most people don't last for 7+ years. Most people are just not determined to go on. And what we see here in the story is that, you know what? This was a good reason for Paul not to go. Look, they're saying to Paul, through the Spirit, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Here we have Agabus, who's probably a good guy, a prophet of the Lord, telling him, this is what's going to happen. And all I think God is just highlighting the fact that Paul is just so determined. He's such a determined individual that he's just willing to go on despite the obstacles in life. Verse number 13, if you would. Notice what Paul says. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? I want you to understand that Paul did not understand their lack of commitment, their lack of determination. He's like, look, I don't understand. He's like, why are you crying? Why are you weeping? Like, I know this is going to happen. I know it's going to be difficult. And for some Christians, look, you got to realize, look, the Christian life is going to be difficult. And just determine that's fine. And Paul doesn't get it. Paul's like, look, I know it's going to be hard. He's like, why are you weeping? Why are you crying? Why are you trying to break my heart? Like, there's a disconnect between Paul and most people. Notice what he says. For I am ready not to be bound only, notice, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. See, Paul was willing to do what? He was willing to face the challenges. And when it comes to determination, look, determination happens before goal attainment. Because, look, everyone has goals. But the reality is that most goals are just a bunch of dreams because we don't put any feet towards our goal. But when it comes to being determined, you got to just be willing to be like Paul to face the challenges. Look, Paul's saying, like, I'm ready not to be bound only else, but also to die at Jerusalem. Why? For the name of the Lord Jesus. He's willing to give it all up because he had a clear direction. He had a clear goal. And look, in your life, Christian, just determine to finish the Christian life despite the obstacles. Will it be difficult? Absolutely. Will it be hard? Of course it's going to be hard, which is why most people decide to quit. But you and I should be like the Apostle Paul, who's different than most Christians, who's willing to stick it out to the end and say, you know what, I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Go if you would to Acts 20, if you would to Acts chapter number 20. You got to determine to finish the Christian life. What is determination? Determination is a firm sense of purpose. You're going to Acts 20. It's a firm sense of purpose and commitment to reaching goals. It promotes persevering towards a difficult goal in spite of obstacles. Determination occurs prior to goal attainment and serves to motivate behavior that will help achieve one's goals. And the truth is, when it comes to finishing the Christian life, because, like, it is rare. I mean, I don't know, because, you know, I didn't grow up a Baptist. You know, I'm blessed to have my wife who grew up in a Baptist home, who my father-in-law was a pastor. He died as a pastor, serving the Lord his entire life, and a pastor's wife as well. But there's very few Christians, and we have a few in this room, who've served the Lord for decades. But look, that is a choice that people make. Look, when people decide to quit church, whatever obstacles they want to tell you came about, that is a choice that they chose to do. But same thing with finishing the Christian life. Finishing the Christian life is a choice that you make in life. Acts 20, look at verse number 22. Acts 20, 22, notice, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. Here we have Paul, before he even sets foot in Jerusalem, he's like, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, but like, I'm going bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. Notice, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Because look, when it comes to like making decisions in life, you know what we want, and we know this because we're human beings, we want to know how everything's going to work out. And we want to make sure that, you know, if I'm going to live the Christian life, it better be the way that I want it to go. It better be just hunky-dory. It better be sunny every Saturday. The sermon better make me feel good all the time. I better not have to tithe. I better not have to do what God wants me to do. It better be as easy and as comfortable as I want it to be. But look, when it comes to decisions, like, you don't know how things are going to go. Look, Paul didn't know how it was going to go. But before he even set foot in Jerusalem, he's like, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to go bound in the Spirit, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He's saying, like, I don't have all the answers. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know how it's going to be, but I'm just going to go anyway. Verse 23, notice, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city. Notice, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. See, here we have a man who's different than most Christians. a man who was willing to have those bonds, have those afflictions, because he had a great goal in life. And he was determined to finish the Christian life. Notice verse 24. Notice, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Again, saying the obstacles, they're not going to stop me. And like when it comes to the Christian life, Christian, you got to ask yourself, you know, what obstacle is it going to take for you to quit? Because for some people, I feel like some people just look for a reason to quit the Christian life. And look, Paul had a good reason, I feel like, at this point to say, you know what, I'm not going to go to Jerusalem. I mean, here we have God's people going to him, speaking to him through the Spirit. Agabus tell him through the Holy Ghost that these things are going to happen. Look, if I were Paul, I wouldn't blame him saying, you know what, you're right. You know, I'm not going to go there. Thank you for the warning. But Paul decides to go anyway. And look, that would have been a good reason to quit. And look, when it comes to your Christian life, you will always find a good reason to quit the Christian life. But determination says, you know what? No, I'm willing to go through those obstacles. Is it going to be hard? Of course it's going to be hard. But look, be different. Be like the Apostle Paul. Don't be like most Christians who just don't want to have things going their way. They want to have things going their way. They just can't decide, you know what? This is what I'm going to do in life. I'm just going to finish the Christian life. Verse 24, but none of these things move me. Neither, notice, count I my life dear unto myself. And that's the problem, is that we count our own life dear unto ourselves, where our life matters more than what God wants for us in life. Notice, so that I might finish my course with joy. Again, so that I might finish the Christian life and the ministry which I have received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You know, I brought this up in, when I preached this at another church, and I'll bring it up here. It's something that I like when our pastor does this, is that he brings up songs in the sermon, and I always feel like they're a very impactful thing when he brings up songs. And obviously, he has a great voice. I'm not going to try to sing this for you guys. But, you know, I was writing this sermon, and a song that I did think of was a song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And I'm sure it's a song that we're all familiar with. And we all know the words, right? It says, I have decided to follow Jesus. You say, what is that? That's determination. When you say, I've decided, because like determination is a choice. And here's the thing about determination, is that people can see your lack of determination. Or people can see the fact that if you have determination, like people can see that. Like we can see the Apostle Paul, and we can see a man who's determined. We can see a businessman out there who's succeeding in life. These people who are successful, like what we see is determination. We can look at a ministry and see a pastor and a pastor's wife who are succeeding. Why? Because they're determined. And look, people can see determination in other people. And the song says, look, I have decided to follow Jesus. What is it? That's a choice that you make. It says, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Then it says, notice, no turning back. No turning back. I mean, who's sung that song? Who's said those words before? I mean, nobody's saying, I've decided to follow Jesus. We should sing it tonight, right? But the words say, no turning back. What is that? That's persevering through difficulties. And I thought this was a very popular song. Apparently, it's not. Right, but what is it? It's a choice that you make, and the song goes on. It says, "Notice, though none go with me, still I will follow." And isn't that the Apostle Paul, who most people are saying, "Like Paul, don't go there. Paul, don't have that goal. Paul, don't go to Jerusalem." Most people say, "Paul, you shouldn't go there." But Paul's saying, "No, though none go with me, still I will follow." And like that should be your choice in life, is that though none go with you, still you will follow. Why? Because your faith should not be in a man. Your faith should not be in anything outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that though none go with you, because guess what? None may go with you. But you decide, look, still you will follow. Because look, our faith is in the Word of God. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And look, is it going to be hard? Of course, but look, though none go with us, still we will follow. It goes on, though none go with me, still I will follow. Again, no turning back, no turning back. And look, this is the Apostle Paul, who decided to follow Jesus, who though none go with him, still he will follow. And then the last stanza says, the world behind me, the cross before me. What is that? That's the goal. Because look, we all should have the goal of finishing the Christian life. It says the world behind me, and notice the cross, that's the focus, where your eyes are headed. It says the cross before me. You know, I think of the verse of Jesus Christ who the Bible says that he endured the cross, despising the shame. Like he looked beyond the cross, he looked beyond the pain and the agony, and he was able to go through the suffering for the glory that was set before him. And same thing in life. Look, in your life, if you had the goal, the aim, the vision of focusing your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, building your life upon the Bible, then guess what? You'll be able to go through those obstacles as well. The world behind me, the cross before me. Notice, again, no turning back and no turning back. And look, I said this at the other church, and I'll say it here. Look, and I wonder how many people have said these words when they sang this song. How many people have said, look, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Who decided the world behind me, the cross before me. Who said, though none go with me, still I will follow. Who said those words, and yet they're not in church today. They're not going soul winning today. They're not living for God today. You say, why? Because look, even though they sang those words, they said those words, they never actually determined to finish the Christian life. Why? Because look, determination is a choice that you make every day. And it's not that one person just gifted with determination. No, one person just chooses to follow Jesus, and one person just doesn't. Go to Proverbs 24, if you have Proverbs chapter 24. Determine to finish the Christian life. Which means, look, you got to just go through the obstacles in life. Because, look, will there be obstacles in life that knock us down every once in a while? Look, absolutely. But just having determination doesn't mean that you're just always going to succeed. It's always going to go great. Look, in life, those obstacles, they're going to cause some setbacks. Proverbs 24, verse number 16. But determination says, look, I'm willing to persevere towards a difficult goal in spite of obstacles. Proverbs 24, 16, notice what the Bible says. It says, for a just man falleth seven times. What is that? Those are obstacles. It says that a just man, notice, falleth seven times. Look, in life, because I feel like life can be a roller coaster. Look, sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. Sometimes things are going your way, sometimes they're not. Sometimes you're a just man, and guess what? You fall again and again and again. Does that mean you should quit? No. You say, what is determination? Determination is this, for a just man falleth seven times, notice, and riseth up again. Determination says, look, yeah, I've fallen in the past. I'll probably fall again because we're all sinners. But what am I going to do? I'm just going to get back up and rise it up again. Notice, but the wicked fall into mischief. See, determined Christians just persevere through those obstacles. Determined to go on. Go if you would to 2 Timothy 4, if you would, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Determined to finish the Christian life. You go to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. You say, why? Because look, there will be obstacles in the Christian life. The Christian life is not easy. And look, it requires a certain mindset. And the Apostle Paul had this mindset. And we saw it earlier, who was ready to die for the Lord Jesus. You know, is that most Christians? Probably not. But it should be us, who say, look, we're willing to die for the Lord Jesus. We're willing to die for the cause of Christ. We had this, the man who had this great call, who, he wasn't perfect by any means. And we even see some mistakes that he makes in the book of Acts. But he just decides to go on. 2 Timothy 4, like verse number 5, notice what he tells Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, 5, it says, but watch thou in all things. Notice, endure afflictions. It says, endure afflictions. Look, are afflictions easy thing to endure? No. But the Bible says, endure afflictions. Take the afflictions. Notice, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Notice, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Notice, I have fought a good fight. Notice, I have finished my course. And look, this should be your goal. Your goal and my goal should be to finish the course that God has set before you and before me. And it's a choice that you make, guess what, today. And nobody gets to the end of the Christian life a success like the Apostle Paul by accident. It happened because years ago he decided, none of these things are going to move me. Bonds and afflictions abide in me. Though none go with me, still I will follow. So in your life, look, determined Christian to finish the Christian life. But not just that, you had a determined Christian to fight in the Christian life. Not only should you determine to finish the Christian life, you should determine to fight in the Christian life. Because, look, the Christian life is a fight. But it's a fight that you ought to just get on board with. It's a fight that you ought to just take the offense with. And what we see about the Apostle Paul is that this man was a fighter. Again, verse 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, again, watch on all things. Notice, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Verse number 7, notice what he says. It says, I have fought a good fight. And you in your life, Christian, you got to decide to fight in the Christian life. Because, like, it'd be easy to live the Christian life and just be free to thrive and just come to church, but never really fight in the Christian life. And there's many fights as Christians that we ought to face, we ought to take on. Obviously, we ought to fight the world through separation. Amen. We ought to fight our flesh by crucifying the flesh daily. But look, specifically in this point, I want to talk about the fight of soul winning and the fight of actually preaching the gospel. Because look, there is a fight out there for lost souls who are dying and going to hell because nobody's going out there giving them the gospel. And look, and sadly, there's plenty of Baptist churches out there who are saved, who know the gospel, who know how to get somebody saved, and yet they're not in the fight of preaching the word of God and getting people saved. And look, that is a sad thing. But thank God we have a church here who helps us, who tells us, who trains us to go out there and preach the word of God, to actually get in the fight of preaching the word of God and getting people saved. Amen. And look, so in life, you have to just decide to fight in the Christian life. Look, meaning you have to decide to be a lifelong soul winner. And look, if you've never gone soul winning before, look, you have to just join us and be a silent partner. And look, obviously, if you just physically can't go soul winning, you got to join us in the fight and just, you know, pray for the soul winners when they're out there preaching the gospel. But look, but if you can, if you have the ability to go, if you have feet where you can go, you can walk, you can talk to people, if you're saved, you know how to get somebody saved, then you got to just get in the fight of going out there and preaching the word of God and getting people saved. Go to 2 Timothy 3, if you would, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. You got to decide to fight in the Christian life, meaning look, you got to decide to be a lifelong soul winner. And just make that determination. Determine to fight in the Christian life. And when it comes to being a lifelong soul winner, guess what? There's going to be obstacles in life. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 10, notice, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Notice, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. Notice, what persecutions, again, I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. I like how the Apostle Paul says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Obviously, that's just the teaching of the Apostle Paul, but also my manner of life. And as you read the book of Acts, what we know is his custom, his manner was to preach the word of God, going from city to city, just preaching the word of God, getting people saved, starting churches, and just exhorting the believers. You know, I believe Paul was here today. Guess what? I think he would have the manner or custom of being a lifelong soul winner. That he would determine to be preaching the word of God every week, week in and week out. But when you do that, look, there's going to be persecutions and afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. Notice what persecutions I endured, but the Lord delivered me. What if we go to Acts 14, if we go to Acts chapter 14. And there's a story in Acts 14 I want to share with you that shows Paul's determination to fight in the Christian life. And then inside of me, you got to just learn to fight in the Christian life. And here's what I know about being a lifelong soul winner. I mean, I don't know because I'm not a lifelong soul winner yet, you know. But if anyone has preached the gospel for years and years and years, look, you know it's not an easy thing to do. I'm sorry about that. It's difficult to preach the word of God week in and week out, right? And look, and if you see someone who's just weekly going out there week in and week out, look, just know that it's not easier for them to go. Because people think this. People think, oh, it must be easier for you to go because, well, you're the pastor. You're the pastor's wife. It's easier for you to go because, well, you only have six kids or whatever. But people think it's easier for some people and just harder for other people. No, it's as equally difficult for everyone to go out there. Why? Because look, people who are weekly soul winners, guess what? They bleed too. They're tired too. They get sick too. They have things going on in their life too. They have concerns and they have issues going on in their life too. It's just as hard for them as it is for anyone else. But some people are just more determined than other people to be out there and preaching the word of God. And look, what's great about this is that, you know, thank you to those of you who are determined weekly soul winners. And obviously, if you're sick, you know, stay home, you know, if you can't physically go and get some rest. But look, it is an encouraging thing when you see someone who is faithful to soul winning. It's a great testimony. And look, people can see it in other people. Like there's people in here who I know, look, they're going to be here on Saturday preaching the word of God. There's people who I don't know if they're going to be here on Saturday. Because some people just have the determination, some don't have the determination. But the question is, look, is that you? Have you made that choice of being a lifelong soul winner, of fighting in the Christian life? Acts 14, I want you to notice Paul's determination to fight in the Christian life. Acts 14, notice verse number 19, it says, notice, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, notice, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Like here you have the Apostle Paul just doing his thing, trying to get people saved, helping people, exhorting them. But what do these people do? These Jews from Antioch and Iconium, they just follow Paul. He's in Lystra. He's not even in these cities, but they're just following after him because that's what happens when you're a lifelong soul winner. Guess what? You have a target on your back. They just go to him, notice, and they stone this man to the point where they thought he was actually dead. And look, I mean, just imagine this. Imagine like seeing a grown man being stoned by a multitude of people to the point where there's a body on the floor that's not even moving and people think he's dead. I mean, you would think, man, give that man the martyr's crown, right? But notice what Paul does in verse number 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, notice he rose up and came into the city, notice, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Man, you would think Paul would just take some time off, say, you know what, man, I gotta take a break. You know, I just got stoned practically to death, but oh, he's getting up. And notice the next day, what does he do in verse 21? And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, notice they returned again, notice, to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Like you read this, you know what I see? I see determination. A man who is different than most Christians. A man who's determined who, yeah, he's going to get hurt sometimes. He's going to get stoned every once in a while. And look, nobody in here has been stoned, right? The worst thing that's happened to you is maybe the door got slammed in your face or somebody yelled at you. And look, we find any reason not to go soul winning. It's too cold. It's too hot. It's too daytime, whatever. You can find any reason not to go. But we see a man who's determined, who no matter what, stone him practically to death, he's going to get up and he's going to keep going. And what he does in verse 21, I find it amazing. Notice, they return again, notice, to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. He goes back to the same cities where he just got stoned, the same cities where the people are trying to kill him. But see, Paul was a man who was up for a fight. He wasn't backing down. He's saying, look, I'm going to go back to these cities and do what? Confirming the souls of verse 22 of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Notice, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Paul's saying, look, this is how it's going to be as a soul winner. And look, as a soul winner, look, just realize this is how it's going to be. Is it going to be easy? No, it's not going to be easy. But we should have the determination to go on, to keep going week in and week out. And, you know, thank you for those of you that have the determination. And those who don't, look, you got to just decide because it's a choice that you make. It's not a gift that somebody else has. They just chose to get up and just do it because it's the right thing to do. Make the choice to be a weekly, lifelong soul winner in your life. Go back to Acts 20, put Acts chapter number 20. Determined to persevere through the obstacles. Acts chapter number 20. When you go to Acts 20, in Galatians 4, the Bible says this, in Galatians 4:13, Paul said, you know, notice how through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. See, Paul told people, like, you know, to the church of Galatia, how through infirmity of the flesh. You see, did Paul just always feel great to go soul winning? No. He's like, when I went out there, I went through infirmity of the flesh, willing to go out there and preach the word of God, because he was determined. Acts 20, again, verse number 24. But notice, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus, to do what? Notice, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. See, Paul had a great goal of testifying the gospel, letting people know about salvation. Like, this should be a goal that you and I just have as believers. That we have a goal in our lives to go out there and testify the word of God, get people saved, because without us, they're not going to get saved. And yes, sometimes we have to go through infirmity of the flesh. And no, it's not easier for one person and harder for other people. It's not easier for somebody just because whatever their circumstance. No, it's equally hard for everyone. But some people are just determined and some aren't. And just determined to be a soul winner. Determined. If you've never gone, join us. And be a silent partner this Saturday. Go, if you would, to go to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. So number one, it said determined to finish the Christian life. Determination, what is it? It's a firm sense of purpose and commitment to reaching goals. It's the act of pursuing a specific aim, motivating you to succeed at the goal. Determination promotes persevering towards a difficult goal in spite of obstacles. Determination occurs prior to goal attainment and serves to motivate behavior that will help achieve one's goals. So determined to finish the Christian life. Number two, determined to fight in the Christian life. And lastly, number three, determined to flourish in the Christian life. You got a determined Christian to flourish or to grow or to thrive in the Christian life. And what we see about this man, the Apostle Paul, is that this man was never complacent with where he was in life. This man, and obviously, you know, I'm under the preaching of our pastor, so obviously I say a lot of the things that he says because, you know what, it's great wisdom. Is that Paul, like our pastor, is a man who valued growth. And thank God we're in a church who helps us grow in the Christian life. And when it comes to flourishing or succeeding in the Christian life, look, your growth depends only on one person, and that one person is you. Look, wherever you find yourself in life today, and obviously you've heard this before probably, wherever you find yourself in life today, it is because of the actions that you've taken, the choices that you've made. Wherever you find yourself in any area of life, it's because you chose to be there today. And look, where you can end up 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now depends on what you do today, but it's a choice that you make. And your growth comes down to only one person, and that one person is you. And we see the Apostle Paul was a man who valued growth. Philippians 3, look at verse number 12. The Bible says, notice this man's mentality about himself. He says, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. See, the Apostle Paul knew, look, he wasn't there yet. He hadn't reached. He wasn't like, oh, I've made it. I've learned everything I need to know now. I don't have to listen to the sermon anymore. I don't have to listen to the preaching anymore. I don't have to read the Bible anymore. I've learned everything I need to know. No, this man who was one of the greatest men to walk the face of the earth, look, he would have said, look, I haven't attained. I'm not perfect, notice, but I follow after. What's that? That's constant growth. That's constant learning. That's constant applying in life. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 13, brethren, notice, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing, notice, I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Here we have a man who is determined to grow, determined to change, determined to flourish in life. And you got to realize, like, all your growth just comes down to you. And, like, people are really good at blaming other people for why they can't grow. You don't think spouses blame each other sometimes? Oh, but because of my spouse, this is how I am as a husband. Because of my spouse, this is how I am as a wife. Oh, because of my kids, if my kids were like their kids, I'd be a much better mom. I'd be a much better dad. But people do this. They want to blame everyone for their lack of growth, for why they're not where they need to be. And what you find is that they actually get mad at people who are actually succeeding in life or telling them where they need to change. But look, your growth, your success in life just comes down to one person. That one person is you. And Paul knew this. Look, he said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, look, I'm reaching forth. I'm pressing on. I'm constantly growing in life. And look, and in your life, I hope this is why you come to church, so that you can flourish in your Christian life. And where God has you today, God made you, molded you to be in that specific place today. Because look, only you have your home. Only you have your family around you. Only you have your friends. Only you have the influence that you have, the resources that you have. Only you have whatever circumstances, job that you have. Whatever you have in life, God has put you there, and it is up to only one person for you to succeed, and that one person is you. And look, it is a command to grow in the Christian life. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Go to 2 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4. So you got to determine to flourish in the Christian life. And look, it's a choice you make. And I say determination because why? Because look, growth, with growth comes obstacles. Because look, growth and change requires diligent effort. It's not going to happen easily, which is why, you know, sadly, most people don't change. And look, I hope for you and I hope for me that we're better Christians in a year from now than we are today. That should be our goal. And if we're the same, then there's something wrong there. And it's not anyone else's fault, but your fault and my fault. Our lack of growth comes down to us because, look, anyone can choose to grow if they would just choose to. You say, how can God help me grow? Well, number one, God gave you a pastor to help you grow. You know, God gave us our pastor so that you and I can grow. 2 Timothy 4, look, verse number 2, the Bible says here, we have Timothy, or Paul speaking to a preacher, Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Notice, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And, like, people don't like this, but, look, reprove, rebuke, those are negative things. And like, you don't like it, and I don't like it, but guess what? Without these things, there is no growth. Because look, you know it takes pressure to make a diamond? You know purging is, there's fire, we get purged through with fire? That the trial of your faith, the only way we grow is by going through some pain. And thank God, man, my alarm's going off. And thank God we have a pastor who is not afraid to reprove and rebuke us. And look, when that happens, you know what that is? That's an opportunity for you to grow. Because like people who can't take correction, and there's people like this out there, people who cannot take correction, look, they're never going to grow. They're not going to grow. They've decided I'm not going to grow anymore. Because look, none of us are perfect. We all need correction. I need correction. Does it hurt? Of course it's hurt. It's supposed to hurt. Look, without the pain, there's no pain, no change, you know, whatever. But look, in your life, just realize, look, thank God we have a pastor who is going to reprove and rebuke us from every once in a while. And obviously exhort us as well to do what's right. But look, this is growth. This is change. When you come to a church like this, and look, there's plenty of churches out there where you can go, you're never going to get reproved for anything or rebuked for anything at all. Look, they're not going to grow. Look, oh, but it's so easier for them. I'm sure it is easier for them. Why? Because, look, they're never going to achieve success in life. Why? Because, look, determination, it's going through obstacles and hard times. The only way that you are going to change is by you being corrected, by you changing. It's going to hurt. It's going to be difficult. But you know what? Thank God our pastor is not afraid to do that for us. To do what? To help you and I flourish in the Christian life. But not just that, go to Ephesians 4. If you go to Ephesians 4, not only do we have our pastor, but of course we have our church to help us grow. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians 4, verse number 11, the Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It says, to welcome in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto, notice, a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, God gave you this church to help you grow. And not just that, look, God gave us each other to help us grow. In Hebrews 10, don't turn there, but obviously it says, and let us consider one another in verse 24. And let us consider one another and to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Like, you know, God gave us each other to help us grow. And look, when it comes to your influence in this church, you got to ask yourself, I had to ask myself, you know, are the people in this church a better Christian because of my testimony? Do I help other people become a better Christian? Or do I take people away from the things of God because of my influence in this church? Because look, God gave us each other to help us grow in the Christian life. Exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. See, our influence should be to provoke each other unto love, of course, but also and to good works, to do what God has called us to do. So you got to ask yourself, look, is your influence helping people become better Christians? Or is it helping them become worse Christians? Why? Because, look, we affect each other. And God gave us his church to help us grow. Go back to Philippians 3, Philippians chapter 3. So number one, determine a Christian to finish the Christian life. Number two, determine to fight in the Christian life. And determine to flourish in the Christian life. And, like, your growth comes down to you. And look, growth requires diligent effort, and it's not going to be easy. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 8, the Bible says again, Philippians 3, verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, notice, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. What we see in the Apostle Paul is that this man who valued growth, is that this man had a great goal in life. In verse number 10, we see what that goal is. It says, notice, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And this is the goal that you and I should have as God's people. Like the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:10, where he says, that I may know him. And like your goal in your life should be to know the Lord and to walk with him and to be close to him and for him to be close to you and for you to love him and obey his commandments and to be with him. And like, if you had that goal in life, guess what? You would go through the obstacles to finish your Christian life. If you had that goal in life, look, you would fight for lost souls in the Christian life. Look, if you had the goal of knowing the Lord, look, you would go through the obstacles to flourish and change in the Christian life. So when it comes to flourishing, look, realize, look, it comes to you and having the goal of just knowing who the Lord is and loving him. Go to 1 Corinthians 15 and we'll be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So when it comes to determination as a Christian, you have to determine to finish the Christian life, determine to fight in the Christian life, and determine to flourish in the Christian life. 1 Corinthians 15 will end here. You see, the Apostle Paul was not like most people. He was a man who was more determined than anyone else. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 10, notice what he says. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. He says, but I labored more abundantly than they all. See, Paul looked at the people around him, and he said, look, the grace of God that was bestowed upon me, it wasn't empty. It wasn't void. It wasn't just because you're Paul. It says, no, but I labored more abundantly than they all. And here you have a man who's a very humble man. But yet the Apostle Paul looked at the people around him and said, you know what? I've worked more than you have to those around him. He's like, the grace of God that came upon me, it's not just because. It's because I worked harder. I was more determined than the next guy. And look, this can be you in your life, where the grace of God can be bestowed upon you if you would do what? If you would just be determined to do so. Determined to finish. Determined to fight. And determined to flourish in the Christian life. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for your word, for our church, and for everyone that's here. I ask you, please, help us all to determine, Lord, to finish the Christian life, determine to fight in the Christian life, and help us all to determine to flourish in the Christian life, Lord. And I just thank you for our church and for our pastor and our pastor's wife. I pray that you bless them, Lord. And I just thank you for everyone that's here. And please be with us tonight and this week, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.